Thank you, Natanya, for reading rather a lengthy text this morning. Also, I'm sure it's not only lengthy, but the content it portrayed to us is rather disturbing, isn't it? Yeah, it's one of the most terrifying texts that could be found in the Bible. So I hope that the Holy Spirit help us to understand what the Word of God here in the book of Judges 11 teaches. So I pray that the Spirit governs today's sermon and this hour. 4 days within the month of Av, the beginning of new growth and fecundity, on the outskirts of their towns and cities, in the mountains and the hills, in the fields and the valleys, amid the trees and by the running waters, they gathered to tell their stories. They were celebrating all that they were, the wholeness of their being and the depth of their tradition. They erected booths from the trees and branches around them, and they draped the floors and walls of the booth with their handiwork. They shared with one another their songs, stories, and dreams. This is the description of Arba Yamim, a Jewish women festival in the Middle Ages, which reflects the old Jewish traditions in the ancient Israel. In that tradition, Jewish women commemorate the premature death of a named daughter of Jephthah, who was offered as a burnt offering to Yahweh by her enigmatic father. The death of nameless daughter was the result of her father's infamous vow to Yahweh. He vowed, "God, if a victory is given to me, I will sacrifice to thee whatever comes out of my house first on my return from my fight." Vows to God are often made when we seek the divine intervention badly. So we vow to God, "If you cure my cancer, I will donate all my wealth to the church. If you let me get into a medical school, then I will be a missionary for you all my life." I remember when I made my own vow to God about 15 years ago, on the deathbed of my son, I had to vow, "Lord, please let my son live. If you allow him to live, I will do anything, literally anything for you." Jephthah has a rather unconventional background. His mother was a prostitute. Once his father passed away, he got rejected from his brothers and his kinsmen, and he was driven away from home. So he became an outlaw and presumably built up a reputation as a fighter. So he was good at martial art, and he was a born leader as well. So he became the most powerful gang leader in the region of Gilead. At the time, Israelites were threatened militarily by the Ammonites, and they were right in the middle of the territorial dispute with the neighboring countries. And they could not find any person who can lead the country militarily to fight against the Ammonite, especially. Ironically, they appealed to Jephthah to be their commander. Jephthah agreed, being enticed by the promise that he would become their overall leader if he wins the war. Jephthah was scared, in fact. He knew that now it is totally different ballgame. It is not just fighting against another gang members and gang group. It is a war nationwide. However, he was not sure about the chances for military success. So he seeks a guarantee of success from Yahweh. So he vows, God, if a victory is given to me, I'll sacrifice to thee whatever comes out of my house first on my return from the fight. What a vow. Did he expect a goat or lamb would come out to greet him? Yeah, actually, at the time, in the Iron Age housings, as you enter into the house, then on the side, they used to have household animals, like the goats and lambs, you know, they stay actually together. So possible, you know, these animals could come out to greet him, of course. Possibly a dog could come out to greet him. But a dog is an unclean animal, right? So Israelites would not use dog to have an offering to God. Then he expect a human could come out to greet him? He must have known the custom in Israel for women to come out and greet with songs and to dance for victorious male warriors upon their return from battle. So did he expect a female servant to come out? Didn't he know that in Israel a human sacrifice was prohibited? What if it was his only daughter to come out first? What if it was his wife? You see, it was a really a mind-boggling vow. It was an unethical vow. It was a terrible vow. It was a shocking vow. The campaign against Ammon and Ammonites was very successful. So upon his return home at Mizpah, guess what? His lovely daughter is coming out to meet him with the tambourines and with dancing. The scripture points out that she is his one and only child. As soon as he sees her, he tears his cloth and laments on this terrible predicament. What a dilemma for Jephthah. He will lose his one and only daughter in order to keep his vow unto God. At this point, I wonder why Jephthah made such a terrifying vow. Why? Above all, he really wanted to gain victory over the war against Ammon. He was offered to become the next head of Israel, in fact, if he win the war. He was an ambitious man, and what an opportunity for him. And he was just the chief of a local gang so far, and it is a golden opportunity for him to change his social status for good. It is the life dream come true. Who'd mind of such an enticing offer? So, he had to win the war, no matter what. There was no other way. He must win, period. Since he wanted to win the war so bad, he turned to Yahweh and asked for help. Just make sure to earn God's favor, he vowed to offer a human sacrifice. I guess that he should have aware of the prohibition against human sacrifice in Israel. Well, it was practiced in other lands, in other religions, in heathen religions. He wanted to give to God the best, okay, the best, the most unique offer. Human sacrifice in ancient times was often practiced almost in any culture, in any religion. I wonder, why would people perform such a heinous act, killing a person as an offering to God? As they feel that they are so weak and fragile, powerless in the face of a powerful nature, they turn to their God and appease God. They wanted to offer their God the best, the most precious, and most valuable they could have. This is the life, the most precious among anything in the world, isn't it? It's not just animal life, but life of human. The most important offer that you could have. Well, in fact, God offered his son, Jesus, to save the whole world, didn't he? You see the point? You know why human, even though it's a somehow rich mind-boggling aspect, we want to offer human life to God? Yes. There's a reason behind it. Because life is the best gift you can give anyone. For Jephthah, it seems that he had a real intention to offer a human sacrifice as he vowed to God. He wanted to offer God the best, the most precious. Not just a goat, not just a lamb, but the life of human. I'm not saying this is right unto God, but at least he thought probably this way. I think Jephthah was an unethical man to the extent of being cruel. In order to achieve achieve what he wants, he would do anything, even to kill his own family. Some commentators say that he probably told his daughter about the vow and warned her not to come out first. It's just a pure projection. But his daughter was a thoughtful girl who decided to die for her father and the nation's victory, to support her father and the vow, his vow. So she came out first intentionally, according to the commentator. If so, then it was an extraordinary decision on the part of the daughter, the nameless daughter. I can say, the father, the daughter. What is the problem of Jephthah's vow? We can say the human sacrifice. You see, human sacrifice is a problem in Jephthah's vow. No doubt about that. We cannot accept it. It was prohibited in the land of Israel. However, it is not the problem of the vow, as far as I'm concerned. There is a more serious issue in the vow. In his vow, Jephthah is trying to manipulate God. He attempts to bind God to his terms. thou give me a victory, then I will give thee the best offering any human can offer. Namely, the human sacrifice. He's trying to influence God with the best offer he could offer. He is trying to control God to a certain extent here. Can we do that? Can human influence God? Can we control God? It is like luring fish with enticing bait. God, I have here the best offering. If you give me a victory, then I'll give you this. I recall when my son got the driver's license, I showed him a nice picture of a car. If you bring me a report card with all A's, this will be yours. We may influence our kid, we may influence our friends, and we may, you know, influence our neighbors, and we may influence our church members, but you see, we cannot influence God to change His will. We cannot. We cannot control God in the way we want, no. We cannot manipulate God. No way. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Verse 29 it says, Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah on his way to battle. And then right at that point, our scripture says he was making this vow. I don't know whether he was aware of the presence of God in his life. When scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Okay, that's a tremendous statement. You know, the war that he was going to fight was already won because the Spirit was on him. Why would he worry about? Why would he make such a vow? Silly vow. Notice that the Spirit of the Lord was already came upon him. How come he was so insecure and afraid? He did not have to make this tough vow at all. The Spirit of the Lord was with him, and the holy war was already won. Jephthah probably was not aware of the presence of God in his life. Yes, he probably was very faithless. I can think of a couple of wrong formats of vows in which we try to control God or influence God. The first, if you give me this, I'll give you that. Okay, that type of vow. It's a conditional, isn't it? If you give me this, then I'll give you that. Jacob made a vow like this on his way to his uncle's house. He was fleeing. To his uncle's house, right? To Mesopotamia. And he says, if you bless me, then I'll pay tithe. I think Jephthah's case is very similar here. If you give me victory, then I'll offer you a burnt offering. The best offering. So he tried to influence God by bait. God would not be fooled by our bait. Never, ever. Second, I will give you this, then you'll give me that. Okay, this is a little bit different, isn't it? The first one was, if you give me this, then I'll give you this. And the second one is, I'll give you this, then you'll give me that. Okay, it's switched a little bit. I'll pay tithe, then you bless me. Give me lots of blessing. I'll pay you tithe, then you give me blessing, Lord. In this case, we are trying to control God or influence God by bribing. God never accepts bribe. We may, I may, but not God. He will never accept bribe. You cannot bribe God. You cannot. Often we vow, often vows we make are selfish ones as well. So the motives are impure and inappropriate. Like Jephthah's, his motive was his political ambition. We can have something like, help me win the lottery. Then I'll pay the tithe of it to the church. It's quite a selfish vow, isn't it? That God just does not like, cannot accept this type of vow. So, how can we make vows to God? Okay, I'll give you just a summary of that. Number one, we should have no intention of influencing God, okay? There should be no intention of trying to control God or influencing God. Rather, we have to conform to the will of God. Second, in vowing, we should have unselfish motives. Unselfish motives. Number three, we vow with the spirit of gratitude. We do not make a vow to get blessed, but since we are blessed, then we vow. The opposite way. Not to grab something, I mean, not to receive all the blessings from God, but since we already experienced the blessings of God, since we already experienced the grace of God, and then out of gratitude, we vow without selfish motive. A.C. Green, and I don't know whether anyone in my age, yeah, I think you remember who that was, A.C. Green, about what, how many years ago? Is it 2 decades ago? Yeah, I just admired him. He was a key member of Lakers along with he was a team member with Magic Johnson. You know who Magic Johnson is? Immoral player, having AIDS and all that, living a very wild life. So A.C. Green was with him, actually, but he was not involved with him. In 2001, he married, and then on an interview, he said, I made a vow to God as a Christian youth. Through the grace of the Lord, I will remain as a virgin until I get married. Wow. A teammate with Magic Johnson say this. What a vow here. He was not trying to manipulate God here. I mean, he's not trying to influence God. He had no selfish motive here. The motive was his love toward God. And he was thankful for the grace of the Lord on his life. 2016, in January, I came across a news that shocked me. There was a motorized canoe accident killing 13 people out of 35 on board near the Corn Island, Nicaragua, on January 24th, 2016. The boat's name was Reina del Caribe, meaning Queen of Caribbean. Yeah? Queen of Caribbean. 6 months prior to that accident, Young and I and a few friends of ours went to the Little Corn Island after a mission trip to a country in Central America. From the Big Corn Island, located about 50 miles from the eastern coast of Nicaragua, we were about to get on the tourist boat to go to the Little Corn Island, which is about 30 minutes boat ride away into the far ocean. At the dock, I was concerned about the size of the boat. It was a motorized canoe with the capacity of about 50 people. It has about 10 rows, and then each row, 5 people can sit. So it's gonna be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, from here, maybe from here to there, where Chuck is sitting. Maybe, you know. And then, of course, below, you could put some cargo, okay, your luggage is in there. I was not quite sure whether that canoe would be safe. It was running on a river then. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, you know, it's gonna be fun. I mean, river, if you got thrown or topside or something, you know, it's okay. You know, you have a jacket and then life-saving jacket. And a river is very shallow, isn't it? So it's fun. But it's ocean. And you are getting into deep sea there for 30 minutes ride. And then when I see that boat, it's impossible. I mean, if I knew, you know, I was going to ride that boat, I wouldn't come there. You know, no. I probably have canceled my trip there. That's the only means to go from Big Corn Islands to the Little Corn Islands. So I did not want to get on the boat, the canoe. Already, Young and her friends were on the board, waiting for me to get on. All tourists, 50 of them, except me, were on the canoe. Yeah. About 50 people with their luggage in the cargo area near the engine. At the dock, I was still wondering whether I should get on or not. Because I was so scared. I don't know why Young was, you know, she didn't feel anything about, you know. She wasn't just happy and then get on there and then laughing at me and just come on and get on, we're gonna leave. At the dock, I was still wondering whether I should step on or not. The sky was overcast a bit. In fact, that canoe was the only transportation for the tourists and the one and only boat operating. The name of the canoe? Reina del Caribe. Caribbean Queen. I had no choice. I don't want to left out there for 3 or 4 days when my group go to the Little Corn Island and enjoy there the beaches and, you know, hiking there. My luggage was already in the on the boat, right? I don't want to be a beggar, right? So, hoping for the best, I had no choice. So at last I got on the boat, the canoe, as the last person. The canoe was full. The only seat left for me was in the second row from the front side and far left. So it was rather front and then left corner. It was about, you know, the width is about from here maybe up to here. Okay, so I was sitting here and then it's the front side of it, you know. When I look around back, so everybody is in the back there sitting like in a magic mountain, some sort of a ride. I don't know, maybe they were expecting that, you know, having some fun, riding boat like that, but not me. Not me. No way. There I could even touch the water, so.
There was no window or anything, right? No window.
So that's more scary. I mean, you sit down here, okay, this side here, and then you go like this, and you can touch the seawater. As the canoe got to the open sea, the shaking was getting worse, even windy a bit, and there was no protection from the splash of seawater. I got soaked from it. In fact, they threw a plastic cover, boom, from behind. Okay, there's one guy, driver, standing at the back, and then one guy standing in front over there. And then there's, I don't know, somehow they communicate, and then guy in the back, when the water splashes are kind of serious, threw a plastic bag upon us. Went like this. Goodness. There were 50 people on that little canoe. Can you believe? I mean, it was motorized canoe, so it runs pretty fast. That's even scary. As the canoe proceeded against the huge waves, one after another, I learned that the canoes are navigating against approaching waves, right? Going, if wave coming this way, then you go this way. Am I right? From Hawaii, you see that? Yeah. Not okay. Not on the crest of the. Do we go that way? It is through it, right? Not along with the. No, yeah. Yeah. So what happened was, since we go like against the wave, you know, since I was sitting in front, right? Even more shaking, like up and down, up and down, up and. It's not just a smooth up and down, man. You know, you may say, well, I enjoy that because, like in Magic Mountain, you know. But it goes up and then, pam! Up, pam! Up, pam! 30 minutes. I was just scared to death. I mean it. I regret it. I never regretted such a regret in my life before. I was scared and terrified to death. I thought the canoe's bottom would crack open by the impact. Oh no, this is serious. No. I have an engineering background. Okay? Engineering degree. Right? So you know, there were doctors in there. They don't seem to care. Because they don't know about engineering, right? There was one native doctor there who went with us. And actually, he's the one who led us into that island. He didn't know anything. He said, it's safe. Keith, it's safe. No problem. No problem, okay? Come on, let's go. Come on. I could not even peep sideways because the sea was so huge and the waves were dancing so wildly, and it was as if it was going to devour me at once. The waves, I've never seen such a huge, you know, display of wave. It's like, ooh. Ooh. Oh yeah. You know, notice that there was no window or anything. It was not, you know, it was not in a ship inside. No, I just could touch the water here. Oh yeah, I had one. Yeah, life jacket was one. But still, you know, if you got topsided, you know, something, and then capsided. I'm sorry. Yeah, capsided, and then life jacket. Yeah, that may help. That may help. Notice the first part that I read here. Among 35 passengers, 13 got drowned and killed. With a life jacket, yes. They were trapped under the boat. Psychologically, it was unbearable. You are trapped and confined into a tiny space, and you cannot do anything but sitting there waiting and waiting with terrifying fear until the journey is over. Yeah, that's most tough part to deal with. You cannot do anything. You just duck down there like this, and even like this, you know, for 30 minutes, you're just trapped. You cannot move around because it's packed. 5 people sitting here. You cannot even go. You better sit just there. I mean, you know, it's no use of moving around. It was a summer ride. It was a ride of life and death for me. Well, I can designate it as a ride of hell. Four-letter word was almost popped out of my mouth. I rarely don't use that word at all. Okay, I grew up very in a nice home, so I never get to use those words. But somehow, at that moment, yeah, I was about to use it. That serious. No, I'm not just making up this story. I'm just telling you, you know, this is my worst life experience that I'll never the repeat. Okay? The worst. I almost peed on my pants. So I ducked down and then started praying to God. I was even shivering with my two hands, somehow, you know, got like this and then firmly holding each other like that. I never prayed so fervently before in my life. I never prayed that long before in my life. So I break several records, right? What if I die here? I don't want to die. So I started to make a vows to God. Lord, if you save me from this hell, I will be a best Christian servant for you ever. I cannot think of anything else. I mean, you know, I'm not a rich, so I cannot say I can donate all my wealth to the church. I'm not a millionaire, so I cannot say that. So I said something like that. In retrospect, I think my vow was not genuine. We all make vows in extreme situations or conditions like this, right? Yeah. I wanted to live, not to die there. I wonder how much God liked my vow. I vowed just to survive. Therefore, it was a selfish vow. I just want to live, you know. Just want to maintain my life. I don't want to die there. I vowed just to survive. Through my vows, above all, I was trying to influence God and control God. I'm glad that I did not say, if you save me, I will, like a Jephthah, I will offer my son as a burnt offering. I didn't say that, right? I'm glad that I didn't say that. Earlier, I mentioned 3 cautions in vowing, okay? We should not control God. We should have unselfish motive. We should vow with spirit of gratitude, yeah? With these some guidelines, we can have genuine vows to God whenever we are in a situation like this. Jephthah's nameless daughter requests a final words. Father, allow me 2 months so that I and my friends go to the hills and mountains, and I will spend time with them and weep for my virginity. Probably she was unmarried. So she spent 2 months with her friends on the hillside. She built booths and spent time with her friends to celebrate her life so far and to weep for her fate. Then she returns back to be offered on the altar as a burnt offering to God by his father. God did not intervene. God, who saved Isaac from the altar of burnt offering, did not save this poor girl, the nameless girl, from the altar. God was silent. The consequence of the vow of Zephtha was tragic. In fact, the story of Zephtha is enigmatic and disturbing to us. It remains as one of the most horrifying tales in the whole Bible. It is surprising that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, Jephthah's name, he was named as a man of faith along with Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. Wow! His name appears in the book of Man of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrew. His life must have been transformed through the event of offering his daughter as a burnt offering. In verse 40, the daughters of Israel went yearly to the hillside to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah 4 days in the year. Vowing to God is a part of our life of faith. We all make vows in many different ways, in many different situations. I think that the way we make a vow is important because vowing will show how we perceive God and how He deals with us. A faulty vow will indicate a faulty perception about God. In other words, if we have faulty vows, that means we have faulty theology unto God, of God. What kind of vows are we making? And are we making acceptable vows to God? Thank you.
We can reflect on Keith's Caribbean Queen experience as we sing number 529, Under His Wings I Am Safely Abiding, number 529.
Let's stand.
Under His wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide. What a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to its rest. healing. There I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can say, shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Glory be to Him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to His glorious presence, innocent and happy. To God, the only God, who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, authority, and power which He had before time began, now and be forever. Amen.
Amen.